This poem is not for students. Truth and authenticity are a prerequisite for greatness, and your children must become great beings with authenticity, wisdom, and their uniqueness. Public schools are a new invention, and they are no longer moving towards real education. They have been made into a processing plant, an institution where everyone gets paid. The who, the thing that derailed schools is us. From students on up, when students tolerate education that they know is fake, to be obedient, to be like others, to not to question. They only oil this machine. They are the fuel. For me, the symbol of fake education is the wall projector in the art class. The teacher will brainlessly repeat some nonsense about Baroque, and the students will just sit there memorizing, being forbidden everything else, under the threat of being held back or punished or being laughed at. If they use the projector to project their selfies on paper and created realistic drawings and paintings of each other, eventually they would naturally reinvent the entire history of art, including Baroque style of expression and decoration. But instead, what they get is a teacher who is hardly present, and certainly grotesque, going on full auto until work is over. The loans are a scam, and any commercial software being taught in school is a scam as well. When profiteering gluttons concoct the idea of loans for teenagers with that tiny little quirk of not ever being forgivable by any kind of process, including bankruptcy, it means school is over and self-education must take over. It means that schools will now be used for money-making, and that will be their end. Your children will be subjected to even more brainless lectures as teachers are replaced with videos that can't ever, ever amount to a decent, inexpensive audiobook. Furthermore, spying on the students in any way is unethical and harmful. It is a betrayal and insult of the worst kind. Eye tracking during tests is especially harmful and demeaning. This is not how we are to treat our students. This is a disgusting betrayal. Because to keep making money, curriculums must be created and updated. Wisdom and foresight will be damned. Closed software is forcing your child to become a customer. It is an insult to you, to your children, and to your children's future. By the time they reach high school, they should be able to write simple programs, paint digital portraits, and sculpt and model 3D objects, along with being able to edit video and audio. Linux-based operating systems, ECMAScript and Node.js, Krita and GIMP, Blender and Audacity are a must, because these technologies can set your child free from poverty, which is something that loans can't do. But this is not a letter about high school. This is about what high school will do to your child's mind. They will use drugs to self-medicate the stress of fake school away. In some cases, a doctor will prescribe similar drugs to keep them still and memorizing. Memorization is not an education. Remembering pi r squared is cute, but you need to be able to draw a circle on a computer screen out of pixels. John Krakauer wrote about how bad lack of real upbringing, lack of real education, and the complete misunderstanding of reality really gets. The carrot and stick of loans and fake education can probably go up to $1 million or more. The job will almost certainly not automatically match inflation and pay as little as possible. Unforgivable loans means that the money will be taken out of their paychecks for as long as they live. This is very bad for mental health and for self-esteem. You can't do this to them. But that is still not quite what I wanted to say. It is best said with quotes. But I want you to know that these are horrible quotes. They are burdensome and heavy quotes. And that they are questions that you need to explain to your child or children, because you are not allowed to put them in a situation where they return from college with tens of thousands of dollars in college loan and credit card debt, with fake education, an education so ineffective that they wouldn't know a philosopher from a liar. So ineffective that they would have learned 100,000 times more if you just helped them navigate their noblest and greatest curiosities all around the world. Henry Thoreau, American naturalist, essayist, poet, and philosopher. I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. I did not wish to live what was not life. Living is so dear. Nor did I wish to practice resignation, unless it was quite necessary. I wanted to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life, to live so sturdily and Spartan-like as to put to rout all that was not life, to cut a broad swath and shave close, to drive life into a corner and reduce it to its lowest terms. And now a little bit of text by Kurt Vonnegut, one of our most beloved writers. So, in the interests of survival, they trained themselves to be agreeing machines instead of thinking machines. All their minds had to do was discover what other people were thinking, and then they thought that too. An additional quote. Your parents were fighting machines and self-pitying machines. Your mother was programmed to bawl out at your father for being a defective money-making machine, and your father was programmed to bawl out on your mother for being a defective housekeeping machine. They were programmed to bawl each other out for being defective loving machines. Then your father was programmed to stomp out of the house and slam the door. This automatically turned your mother into a weeping machine. And your father would go down to the tavern where he would get drunk with some other drinking machines. Then all the drinking machines would go to a whorehouse and rent f***ing machines. And then your father would drag himself home to become an apologizing machine. And your mother would become a very slow, forgiving machine. And one more quote, because Kurt Vonnegut is something else. Here is what Kilgore Trout cried out to me in my father's voice. Make me young. Make me young. Make me young. And Charles Bukowski, who is one of our greatest poets, and writes in a way that nobody can critique. Nobody. How in the hell could a man enjoy being awakened at 8:30 a.m. by an alarm clock, leap out of bed, dress, force feed, shit, piss, brush teeth and hair, and fight traffic to get to a place where essentially you made lots of money for somebody else and were asked to be grateful for the opportunity to do so? And my quote, I am absolutely the worst of all writers. You are not allowed to deny your children knowledge, wisdom, and greatness in any way. This is their world now. This is their future. I will close with a poem that we should have read in a wiser and peaceful today, instead of these terrible quotes. A poem that is worthy of us, and that we are worthy of. Cosmos by Walt Whitman, who includes diversity and is nature. Who is the amplitude of the earth and the coarseness and sexuality of the earth and the great charity of the earth and the equilibrium also? Who has not looked forth from the windows the eyes for nothing, or whose brain held audience with messengers for nothing? Who contains believers and disbelievers? Who is the most majestic lover? Who holds duly his or her triune proportion of realism, spiritualism, and of the aesthetic or intellectual? Who, having considered the body, finds all its organs and parts good? Who out of the theory of the earth and of his or her body understands by subtle analogies all other theories? The theory of a city, a poem, and of the large politics of these states. Who believes not only in our globe with its sun and moon, but in the other globes with their suns and moons? Who, constructing the house of himself or herself, not for a day but for all time, sees races, eras, dates, generations, the past, the future, dwelling there like space, inseparable, together.